And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
He's still Dennis. Yeah. Yes, Dennis Howland. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. Comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Four lines wide open. Feel free to get online. 560-522-9842. Somebody hit Control-Alt-Delete on my brain. So feel free to get online. 860-522-WTIC is the number. No matter where you are in the country or the world, you can call us. It's on your dime, but if it's a cell phone, does it matter anymore? I don't think it does.
Yeah, I would think it's included with your minutes.
Yeah. And who uses minutes
anymore? The monthly allotment that you've got that you don't even know what the number is because you don't pay attention to it because you don't need to.
Don't even use it. So feel free to get online and use it with us, and we'll help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. As we wait for your calls, as far as news that's out there, have you ever heard of Enzo Biochem?
I don't know. Go ahead.
They were ordered to cough up $4.5 million over a lousy security that led to a ransomware disaster. Three states' attorneys, including ours, forced them to pay $4.5 million penalty following a 2023 ransomware attack that compromised the data of more than 2.4 million people.
Wow.
So the New York Attorney General, and then you got the New Jersey Attorney General, and of course Connecticut, all ganged up on Enzo and said, "Hey, we don't appreciate what happened here. You had very bad security and poor credential hygiene." They had basically what happened here is this is something that we should probably bring up also. They had no 2FA or MFA on their email accounts. After that, this day and age, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, come on, people.
Of course, they didn't encrypt any patient data at rest, which, as far as I'm concerned, is really not that big a deal because they're not going into the facility to pick up the hard drive and leave with it.
Well, right. That would be the only way that would ever apply.
Right. But, of course, that's listed here.
Yeah.
So, basically, you're looking at what happened was there was a couple of accounts that were left on the system after many, many, many years of the people leaving, and they got in through those old accounts. So being, cleaning up these accounts is very important when it comes to hacking, because you could have had, this guy, Bob Smith, was working for your company 10 years ago and his password was ice cream.
Yeah.
You don't have any MFA and that's an easy password to hack. Now he's long gone and retired, right? He's long gone, but you left his account on the system.
Right. Probably because his email was being forwarded somewhere or his account is just used by an application in something.
Right.
So they maintain it for whatever reason instead of killing off the account.
So the guy got in through that. And what happens is when these bad guys get into your system, they do what's called lateral movement. They try to elevate their credentials of whoever they are using to get in. And then they try to bounce around within the company, laterally move. And, of course, Enzo didn't have any MDR or EDR running.
Oh. All right.
No idea that was happening.
Ugh.
Right? So you get the bad guy bouncing around in there for days and days and days. And basically, now they have to cough up $4.5 million because they didn't really do the basics when it comes to cybersecurity. We see this a lot in our business, right? So, at Tab, we're always trying to help our small business clients protect themselves in two ways. Obviously, we want them to keep running.
Yeah.
Don't want them to be down. And we want them to protect their company data. And even convincing companies just to spend a couple bucks a month on these technologies can be difficult, believe it or not. Because, again, in this environment here in Connecticut where your electricity bill is killing you and the cost of everything here is killing you, adding another couple bucks to protect your computers that are working fine, according to the owner, is just one more thing until you end up having to cough up $4.5 million because you didn't protect the systems. So the moral of the story is here, you should, if you're working with an IT provider, ask them to work with you on your domain controller to clean up domain accounts that shouldn't be there anymore.
Right.
Implement two-factor authentication. Make sure all that is running and protecting your systems. Yes, it's a pain in the butt to have to do it. Literally for us to log into our system to Tab, I have to hit 2FA three times just to get into our systems.
Yeah. Yeah. Virtually everything that we use requires that.
Right.
So,
and yes, it slows us down a little bit to do all that, but it's important to, It, so unlock the main lock, and then you unlock the deadbolt. And
right.
Then and you come in.
In the end, it's a very small price to pay.
It really is. And then, of course, having MDR or EDR. MDR stands for Managed Detection and Response. EDR is kind of more of an enhanced detection and response, more automatic, more automated. Managed detection and response systems are actually manned or womaned by a NOC, a network operations center, where they actually sit there and look for alerts happening on your system that happen to be looking like any kind of lateral movement or activity on your systems that shouldn't be happening, and they can shut it down and stop it from spreading. EDRs are more automated. They'll set you an alert. Hey, I think there's something going on here you should take a look at. But good EDRs actually shut it down also. So not having those two things in place these days, especially if you're using Microsoft 365.
Oh, yeah.
If you don't have a cloud monitoring happening on your Microsoft 365 accounts, you can have bad guys banging around in your tenant and you don't even know. Talk about forwarding. What Dennis just talked about is once they get into your Microsoft 365 account, and let's say you're the CFO, they're going to get into your account and forward to them. They're forward to the bad guys.
Yes.
Any emails that you're reading, and then they'll read them and pay attention, and then decide, oh, I guess you're looking for a wire transfer. I'm going to get involved now and tell that person to wire transfer the money somewhere else. And that's what happens often.
Well, yeah, and then they'll often use your account to send out, you know, fraudulent phishes and stuff like that too.
Yeah,
I've seen some of that. So
having MDR, and again, this company, Enzo Biochem, didn't have these types of things in place, and they just got whacked $4.5 million. So we'll put the link up here for you to read it yourself. Looks like Connecticut's going to get $743,000. And I guess I don't think the people who are impacted in the state get a penny.
Of course not.
So go to the general fund.
Of course.
Meaning our electric bill will still go up. But at least somebody's paying for something, and I don't know. It's just crazy as far as where these fines are going. So you can read it yourself. But the moral of the story is get this stuff in place, guys. It's getting to be something that is really required. You know, cough up the couple bucks a month versus having to cough up $4.5 million. Let's go to your calls. We're going to go to our friend Tom out there in Torrington. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
Not bad. Hey, a couple quick questions maybe you could help me with. My laptop died. I'm on a new one now. I'm going from 10 to 11. Mm-hmm. Little bit of a learning curve there, but Bitwarden. On my desktop, I have the Bitwarden logo up in the right-hand top corner, you know, with the downloads and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't seem to get that on this new computer.
Hmm. There's no configuration readmes on getting Bitwarden on a Windows 11 machine?
Yeah, but I tried a couple things and it didn't seem to do anything. That's why I'm reaching out to you.
Hmm. Well, we'd have to read that config there as far as how that works.
Well, you're talking about the
password manager.
Right, the password manager, but you're talking about the browser extension for it that gets kicked off. All right, which browser are you using?
Firefox.
All right, hold on a second. We'll see about that.
They're probably not up to date knowing that. No, Firefox is getting a little behind.
Yeah. What are you guys recommending today?
I like Brave.
Brave or Vivaldi?
Okay. I tried the Brave a little bit, but I wasn't really fond of it.
You didn't like how fast it was?
Well, it was fast, but it was a pain to get around.
Oh.
You didn't like it? Okay. Well, that's, again, preference. I don't have any issue with that myself, but that's fine.
I'm looking in the Firefox add-ons, store, for lack of a better word. There is a Bitwarden password manager extension for Firefox. Have you tried to install it?
I believe I did.
Okay. You might have to do something to make the icon show up. Hold on a second. I'll look that up.
Have you updated Firefox? Is it the latest version?
I just re-downloaded it onto this new computer, so.
You just did that?
I'm assuming it's the latest and greatest.
Yeah, but you did that after it didn't work, and then did you try it again to reestablish that plugin?
No, not exactly.
Mm-hmm. So if you're up to date now, try that plugin again.
Okay.
Because now it might work. You might have been behind. Dennis is also looking to see if there's any kind of other additional settings you have to set to turn that plugin on. How do you like Bitwarden?
It's all right. I was using the one that got crashed.
LastPass,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And you guys talked about getting rid of LastPass and going to Bitwarden, so I did, and so far, so good.
Yeah, it's pretty popular, and it's free, and it's open source. LastPass, I mean, yeah. I don't know how many times LastPass can get hacked and have issues before people decide maybe it's not a good idea.
You live and you learn, right?
Yep. That's the thing with technology. It's like, it's great until it's not. I mean, every recommendation we've ever made is good until it's not good.
What you might need to do is to, in Firefox, near the upper right, you should see a little symbol that looks like a jigsaw puzzle piece.
Yeah.
You want to click on that.
Yeah.
Or actually right-click on it.
Okay.
And then it should give you a little menu where you can list the extensions you've got. And from there, you should be able to make the Bitwarden extension show up with its own symbol in the bar. It won't show by default.
Ah.
Yeah, and it's the same thing with Chrome and Edge and Brave and the other Chromium browsers, too.
Kind of hiding it that it's there.
If you want to add the extension to the bar.
Mm-hmm.
In the browser, you have to not only add the extension, you have to click the option to show it in the bar.
Gotcha. I don't think I've ever. Did it work?
I'm not in front of the laptop. I'm in front of my desktop.
Okay.
Right now.
All right.
Well, I will try that. And one quick thing before you go.
Yeah.
Is there a way to sync your desktop and laptop hard drive so they're the same setup?
So they look the same and they're operating the same? There's not really a sync for that I'm aware of. You have to just kind of configure it that way, like put the icons you want, delete the icons you don't want.
Okay.
There's not really a mirror that I'm aware of. That would be nice though.
That's what my question was.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dennis. Thank you, Eric.
You're welcome.
Great show as always, and have a great weekend.
You too, Tom. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
I didn't even know that was even an option, that you could actually put that extension up. I've never even bothered.
Yeah, okay. I would say about maybe a year and a half or 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
pretty much all of the browsers went that route. They don't automatically show the extensions in the bar anymore.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Right. I don't know why. It seems kind of inconvenient to me, but what do I know? I'm not a programmer. Yeah. I can't understand those things.
Some programmer.
It's too deep for me.
Exactly. You're just a user. Let's go to Rob in Middletown. What's happening, Rob?
Good morning. Hey, guys. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
My question may be overly basic for you guys, I apologize if it's kind of remedial.
No,
but
go ahead.
What I have is I've got a desktop at home that I use for, just basic Excel, Word, little PowerPoint. It's a Dell XPS. I'm not even sure how old it is. 8500.
All right.
It's got 16 megs of RAM. It's 64-bit, and it's got a 2-terabyte hard drive.
Solid state?
Windows 10. No,
okay.
It's not.
All right.
And it's got Windows 10 and Office Pro Plus 2013.
Oh yeah, it's so old.
I don't know how old it is, but I mean, it works okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like and well, it's very slow to start up.
Yeah.
And if there's a restart with updates, it takes forever. Now, it's functional, but I feel like I don't know what I'm missing.
You're missing all sorts of minutes in your life. As that thing boots up.
That's what it feels like, candidly. That's exactly what it feels like.
Yeah. It's based on the Office date of 2013. It's probably a decade old. 2 terabyte spinning drive. So, yeah, I mean, you're missing out on performance generally because Microsoft keeps updating and updating and updating and continuing to bloat and bloat and bloat your system.
Well, yeah. Not only Microsoft, but everything application developers are the apps are getting bigger and more bloated too.
Yeah, so
I see.
Get something current. I mean, 10 years is definitely a good run. If you really want to find out how old it is, there's usually a number on there, a system ID number that you can put into the Dell.
Or serial number,
and they'll tell you how many.
Yeah, they call it system tag or something.
It just bounced out of my head. I can't think of what it is. But put that in there, and they'll tell you.
Okay. Can I ask a follow-up? As I started to look at potential new desktops, I was a little, reading, and I was a little bit concerned about hearing noise around you need an account with Microsoft and things like that, and Windows 11. Yeah, I know that's changed for me, so maybe that's just what I'm but as far as needing an account, I don't have one now with Microsoft. Is that a limitation, or will I need to... As I said, this is a bit remedial.
But we get this question a lot. Elon Musk has talked about this.
I'm going to tell you what I think you should do. And this is different than what it was maybe 6 months ago.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, it keeps changing.
Yeah. Microsoft has made it increasingly hard to work around that Microsoft online account sign in when you are setting up a computer for the first time. Okay. Mm-hmm. What I recommend at this point is to not bother any of those workarounds because they're all going to be hard. They're going to be funky. They're going to be tricky. Mm-hmm. And you don't know if tomorrow Microsoft is going to break it.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So I could give you instructions. I could give you forward an article to you, whatever. Yeah. It may not work when it's time for you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So don't bother. When you get your new computer and you set it up, take the invitation to set up a new account online to log into the computer with.
Yeah.
You're going to use this account one time only, to log into the computer and get Windows running.
Mm-hmm.
Then you don't do anything else except create a new local user account on it. Make sure that that account is an admin.
Then, a new one you create.
Right. A new one that you create. And make sure it's local, not another online account.
Mm-hmm.
Then you log out of your online account, log in with the new local admin account that you created, and then you just go from there. Okay?
Oh, wow.
Now, you can leave that online account in place on the computer, and it will be another avenue to get into it if something goes wrong with your own basic account.
So write that stuff down. Write down the email you use, the password.
Write down the email address. Write down the, I think they asked for date of birth.
Mm.
You can make something up, but just write it down.
Right.
And if it forces you to set up two-factor, go ahead and do that, but then write all that information down so you know how to get in if you need to later. But you're just going to use the account one time.
Okay.
And that is it. And it's not real. I mean, it is an infringement on your privacy, but if you never use the account at any other time, then how much are you forfeiting? It's nothing.
Right.
So, and it's a lot easier. I'm telling you, it's a lot easier to do that than it is to go through some of the hurdles you have to go through in order to set up an account with just a local one.
Now, when he's got the local account, Dennis, if the internet's out and Microsoft can't tell whether or not he's online.
He's already logged in once.
Yeah.
So the security key exchange has already taken place.
All right, good.
And as long as he puts in whatever password he had at the time that he set up the account, it should recognize that. Because that is the credential that's been cached in the computer.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, trust me.
Well, we trust you.
No, that's very helpful. Not to confuse things further, but if I have an account, like I do a little work and for retirement help out where this company, and they've given me an email and a Microsoft Teams.
Mm-hmm. That's different
account, but okay. So that wouldn't confuse. That wouldn't make this computer like say, "Whoa, now I'm seeing, you know, three different accounts." That wouldn't. Okay,
it gets confusing though, right? So you're going to log on to the cloud-based Microsoft 365 using the corporate account that they gave you.
Yes.
Not the local account.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Perfect.
But it is confusing. Well, who am I now? Am I corporate? Am I non-corporate?
Yes. And imagine with my 8500, I mean, the thing is just like this XPS is just slugging along.
It's 10 years old. Time to retire it, Rob.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. This is so helpful. I really appreciate it. I love listening to your show as well.
Our pleasure. We'll put any links up here that we can think of that will help you too.
Okie dokie. Thanks.
You got it, Rob. All right. Bye-bye. It is frustrating with that stupid Microsoft account. But I guess you're right. If you can't beat them.
You can't. I mean, how much fighting against the man are you going to do just to get around a silly requirement that is a one-time event? Because all you're doing is getting Windows working on the computer.
Right.
Once you've done that, go ahead, create the new local account and just go for that.
And the EULA probably already says they have access to all your data anyways. And they're going to train their AI on all your documents. I mean, I don't know if that's true or not, but, you know, what it's just getting nuts. Imagine if you had to log into your typewriter and give all that information to the typewriter. We need to know your date of birth in order to let you write a letter. Thanks, Microsoft. I'm sure they have a really valid reason, right, Dennis? Well, they wouldn't ask for a silly reason.
Of course. Of course they do. It's profit, man.
Right. They want to know everything. Like, so you're logging in now as you and you're X-year-old person, and then you're going to go use your browser, and they're going to read the cache on whatever browser you're using to see where you're going, and then they're going to market whatever you... It's like, I didn't buy the computer for that. I didn't buy the computer so Microsoft could leverage that.
I agree with you, but...
Yep. No, you're not wrong. Because anything you do with a workaround, you're right. They're an update away from breaking it. Actually, speaking of updates, actually, Krebs had another article about this, about the last past Tuesday. They had a lot of 0 days that they were patching on Tuesday. 90 exploits.
Whoa.
And a huge amount of 0 days, like 6 of them that are out in the wild. 0 days are exploits that the bad guys are going to do to use to get into your system. So definitely update and patch your operating system for Microsoft, because, man, oh, man, they had some stuff to patch. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. AJ, hang on. Frankie, and two lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. Everything we've talked about has been posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. If you follow us on Facebook over at the Tab Computer Systems, I'm sorry, it's the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network. And you want to join it. It's a private group, but we let everybody in. You really, you'd have to be some sort of crazy person not to be let in. We're there now broadcasting, and everything gets posted there. It's a nice little forum of folks to try to help each other out as well. And if you follow us on X at Tab Computer Sys, everything will get into your news feed. Elon guarantees it. We'll be right back.
Computer Talk with Tab is powered by GoNet Speed, bringing you lightning-fast fiber internet. Visit GoNetSpeed.com for pricing and availability.
All right. We can't thank GoNet Speed enough for making this program now commercial-free. Spend a little more time with you guys. Real quick, before we get to your calls again, 860-522-9842. This is another attack. An attacker steals personal data of 200,000 people with links to Arizona Tech School. This kind of bothered me. But here's the thing about it, right? This is a tech school. These guys are supposed to be geekier than the average school.
Yeah, you would think so.
Here's the thing about it, though. Normally, these breaches talk about, you know, hey, they got your email, they've got your maybe your date of birth, maybe your name. This one, this tech school went above and beyond. These guys took 50 different data points.
What?
Yep. Class list, student ID number, date of birth, race, ethnicity, grades, course schedule, home phone number, email address, home address, parent guardian name, transcript, social security number, driver's license, state and identification number. Isn't that great? Financial aid information, class rank, place of birth, TIN, whatever that is, tribal ID number, account number, routing number. Routing number, that doesn't sound good. Health insurance information, disciplinary file, medical information, absence reasons, financial aid account number. They got everything. So this is a this is at this Arizona school and East Valley Institute of Technology. Now here's the thing. And I told you about Enzo, right?
Right.
So what did they do then, Dennis? They went and then after this happened, they said, oh, you know what? Here we sent a letter to the affected individual, and it reads, to date, EVIT has now contacted the appropriate authorities and locked down VPN access. Well, gee, thanks.
What?
They deployed EDR software. Huh.
Whoa.
Wouldn't that be nice to do before this happened?
That's called locking the barn door after the horses have fled.
Exactly. And has 24-hour monitoring for the incident. Revoked privilege or user access. Really? It don't say. Changed all service account passwords. Huh.
Oh.
So... they performed domain cleanup. We just talked about that earlier.
Right.
They rebuilt or replaced 19 virtual servers so that none of the prior impacted servers were brought back online to the network. Great job. After you got hacked. So again, this is I don't know how many times people need to hear this. If you're in a small business or any business here in the state of Connecticut or in the sound of my voice or in Massachusetts, we can help you with this before
it happens to you.
Before it happens to you. And even the mitigations that we put in place don't guarantee you it's not going to happen to you.
No, none of them is completely foolproof. But when you have enough of them layered together against each other,
right,
then you have meaningful protection.
Yeah, and all the things they talked about here is just the basics. Right? So we'll put the link up here, but these attackers got some serious information on these folks. The East Valley Institute of Technology. You may not want to go there. I don't know. They may not know their technology from their elbow. I don't know. But we'll put a link up there for you guys to read about this. And it's just, so here's part of the problem too. This technology doesn't cost an arm and a leg. Companies like Tab don't sell it for an arm and a leg. Enterprise-grade technology, small business pricing is how we approach it. So you're a small business. You can put these types of technologies in place before you get hacked or before you get ransomed so that you're not having us talk about it in the news. But again, if when I joke about asking you for your password, the bad guys could still reach out to somebody in that technology school acting like they're a headmaster or whatever and say,
right,
hey, Barb, can you send me all this information on all our students with all 50 information points? And Barb can be like, okay.
Right? For all we know, that might be how this happened.
Not with all that stuff that they put in.
Well,
I would agree with you except for all the stuff that they put in. They changed all the servers. I mean, you're right. They could have asked for access. You're right. But I think that...
You're right. There must have been some kind of an incursion.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to your calls. Let's go to who's been on the longest. We're going to go to AJ in South Windsor. First, AJ, what's up?
Good morning.
Morning.
I'm a regular listener, and I learn a lot from you guys. But I wasn't going to call, but when I heard you had all the lines open, I sort of have a bullpen mentality of questions.
Nice.
Just to fill in. So I have a question about UMA. I've been having trouble with my landline Frontier. It's a periodic, but sometimes it just goes, and they fix it within a day or two. They never have to come in the house, and in fact, they show up at the house outside for a while, then they disappear down the road a few blocks away, and then they call us and say everything's fixed.
Yeah, they're actually looking at the copper lines and going,
Or they jiggle it.
Or splicing in something there. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to eventually completely cut all the landlines and go to our cell phones. But anyway, in the meantime, I was looking at UMA, mostly on the basis of you guys mentioning it. Yeah. And I looked up on the internet, and I know the ratings aren't really solid, but UMA doesn't come out on top. And some of the reviews that they have of UMA, the one major complaint is when you try to cut them or stop them, they continue charging, even though when you call them and say, we've stopped charging, but it still shows up on your bill. And so my question would, have you heard anything about like that? And that seems to be a major complaint that pops up on the various reviews.
I have not heard of it until you brought it up today. The thing about UMA is basically you can get a free line unless that deal has gone away, where all you're paying for is the state and local taxes. So I've not heard that. I would tell you if that is an issue, you can always use an account that you're willing to cancel the credit card on, because once you cancel the credit card, no more fees. But we haven't seen, I haven't heard anything lately about that until you. So,
well, again, it shows up on the internet, and you have to be suspect about reviews and in general about any product.
You do really, but we don't have any endorsement or anything like that. It's just been a recommendation we've made. There's also Magic Jack works the same way, I think.
Yeah. There's actually a couple of them.
Now, if I do get UMA, and if I do, it's going to be temporary. I have my main phone is on my desk upstairs in my office, and my router is downstairs in the family room. Now, can I do a Wi-Fi from that would connect the UMA from the router? Because when I look on their video, you have to connect their box to your router.
Right.
Yeah, I think they don't have a Wi-Fi box. I think it needs to be wired.
Okay, so I'd have to have the phone near the router.
Yeah. Unless you can run a cable.
Right.
You could either run an Ethernet cable and have UMA next to the phone, or you can have UMA next to the router and then run a very long telephone cable to where the phone is.
Yeah.
You can go in either direction.
Or, like you said, you're going to go to your cell phones anyways, skip the whole thing and just set up a Google Voice.
And that's what I think we're going to do anyway. Anyway, I'll be listening, and I'll have some more questions in the bullpen just in case.
Sounds good, AJ.
Run out of callers.
Sounds good. We appreciate that.
Okay, thank you.
All right, you too. Right. Bye-bye. Bye. So yeah, you could set up a Google Voice, which is still free so far, with that number, and just have that Google Voice number forward to your cell phone.
Yeah.
So that works too. And that costs you so far nothing.
Yes.
Now, we don't know why Google wants that. Does Gemini listen? I don't know. Again, none of these companies do anything for free out of the kindness of their hearts.
You are the commodity.
So I don't know. Who knows? Let's go to Frankie in Windsor next. What's going on, Frankie?
Good morning, gents. I agree with that last caller. Frontier telephones are a nightmare. Always a buzzer or hum in the background.
It's old copper.
I went downstairs and I moved some wires around and it got a lot better, but that's not the call.
Yep.
Do you advise locking the taskbar, yes or no?
Locking the... I just went to a song, you know. What is it? Rock the Casbah?
Rock the Casbah.
Do you want to lock the taskbar? I don't. I just leave it. I leave it at the bottom, but I don't think I lock it per se.
Right. I'll leave that alone. Now the big problem is I'm having trouble with my email, Gmail, I should say.
It join
stops the club. Working at 2 o'clock on the 16th from the taskbar. It won't open. It gives me, I push it now and it tells me that I got to, what's it saying? Sign into Google, but my Google accounts are solid, so I don't know what the heck the problem is there.
Your Google accounts are what?
A solid. So, well, you told me to, this isn't my first call. You asked me to download Google Chrome, I did.
Yeah.
But my Gmail stopped working on my taskbar, but I have to go to Google in order to open the Gmail. Is there a way to get that Gmail back down on the taskbar for convenience?
I see. Yeah, I mean, you should be able to have the icon on your taskbar.
The icon is, but it won't open up anything past the 16th.
Okay, so you're not getting any new mail.
Right.
How about your cell phone? Do you get any mail on your cell phone?
I don't use my cell phone for email.
All right, go ahead.
All right. Are you using an email client or are you using the browser to get to your Gmail?
I open up Google and then I hit Gmail, but... It didn't used to be that way.
I wonder if what's on your taskbar is the Windows Mail application. that is supposed to be connected to your Gmail account, but for whatever reason, it no longer is, and all it has, all it's aware of, is an email up to a certain date.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it will only connect to Gmail maybe if you put your password back in or something like that.
I did all that.
Is it a red M or a white M?
I'm sorry, sir?
Is it a red M in the taskbar? Because Google's at that red M.
I'm opening it now. Yeah, it's got a gigantic, red, white, and blue M. And it all opens up according to this. But today's the 17th, and I haven't seen anything for today yet.
Could it be nobody sent you anything?
No. I get it all from United, Best Buy, Google, eBay, Google. I had security alert and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. So you're sure you're not in a mail client. You think you're in Google, and you're not receiving. If you click on send receive, nothing comes down.
Send receive. Well, let me see. I'll open up Google again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there is. I can only get it to it from the Google Gmail account. It seems to be up to date. Send receive. Let me see. What do I do that? How do I see that?
I'm thinking Outlook. I mean, I have to think of my Gmail, even do it on Gmail.
Oh, compose. All right.
Well, that's to make a message. Send a message to yourself. That's a good idea. It'll go out and go back in.
I've done that. And, well, I don't want to waste your time now. I know there's other callers.
No, it's a good call. It's funky Gmail. Funky Gmail issues. We have it all morning. It's a red, white, and blue. Yeah, you're right. It is a multicolored. I always thought it was a red M for some reason.
72.
Because you just feel like you're not getting... You're online, right?
Yes, sir.
Hmm.
Gmail.com, C-O-M. Okay, set myself.
I don't think there's a limit either on the size.
And I'm going to put down hi. Okay, I'm sending it now. Boom. Yeah. Oops. Well... It goes to the Gmail that's on my Google account, but it's not going to my... keeps telling me to sign into Google, and I've signed in 100 times.
Yeah, so this is what's confusing us. It's telling you to go to your Gmail account, but you just said you were in your Gmail account. So this is kind of weird for us here, Frankie. Are you sure you're in Gmail, or are you in Microsoft Mail, like Dennis has suggested?
There's Microsoft Mail.
Are you in some other mail client?
I believe I was in Microsoft, come to think of it.
Yeah, so you're messing with us there, Frankie.
Yeah. the mail that I had down here was a Microsoft account. All of a sudden, now it's a Gmail account.
All of a sudden.
I don't understand that.
We don't either. But you're clearly not using the mail client you thought you were. So if you go to the one you're supposed to be using, is your mail coming in?
The one I just sent to myself did come in.
Yeah.
But it came in on my, opened up my Google, and then I hit the mail, the Gmail up there.
Yes.
That came in.
That's
it
your mail.
It usually would come in on the taskbar with Microsoft, but it says Microsoft down there.
Right. But so back to Dennis's point, on that little Microsoft one down the taskbar that you've been using,
yes, sir.
You need to go into the accounts within that mail client and make sure you've... What could have happened, you could have a mail client that goes back a ways, and you could have some different SSL or TSL settings that need to change ports.
It does go back quite a ways.
Mm-hmm. And something might have changed that said, no, if you don't change in this TLS security, we're not going to send you the messages anymore.
It did change. I got a download from Windows around the 15th or so, and nothing's worked right since. Yeah. And not only that, but my wife's on the other side, and hers isn't. And she's asking me, what'd you do? I said, oh, man, here it comes.
If I had a nickel for every time I heard that from my wife. so you want to check to see what those... So you want to go to Google's Gmail account settings and just look up the TLS settings. We can try to find the link for that for you, the proper ones. Then go to your Microsoft Mail client and go to the Google account within it and make sure that it's set up with the latest ports that you're supposed to be using, because if you're getting it through the Gmail client, you should be able to set it up for the mail client, and that should be it for you. It should work, Frankie.
All right, I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Our pleasure, Frankie. Good luck.
Bye bye.
All right, bye bye. Yeah, it's frustrating. Which client am I working with? Right.
I know. And
Which witch is which? I don't know. Let's go on to Peter out there in Berlin. What's happening, Peter?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good. I just wanted to let your previous caller know that I've had a UMA phone for over 10 years. I had seamless transition from Frontier to Comcast and now GoNet Speed with it.
Nice. So no problems.
Panasonic cordless phone system plugged into it, like old, new school. It's great.
Right. It's true, because the box will actually, you connect your old system to that box, right?
Yep.
And it sends it over the old copper wires in your home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If you have a copper wire system or you buy a Panasonic cordless phone.
So, yeah. So there's an endorsement. You know, we've always had good luck recommending it. I don't think I've had a single person ever say they've had trouble with it. He was just reading those reviews.
The only thing is the price rose from like $5.50 a month to $6.50 a month.
They don't offer the free one anymore?
That is free as far as I know.
That's just the taxes.
That might be the amount of the taxes and stuff.
Right. You can thank our legislature for that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, $6 a month just to pay the taxes, UMA's doing it for free. Again, I don't even understand why, other than they're hoping you might use their product in other more commercial ways.
Right, so. And I tell friends, family, please call me. If you're going to call me on the landline.
Right.
I don't like talking on my cell.
I hear you. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, Peter, we appreciate that feedback.
Definitely.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye. So UMA's the way to go, according to Peter. And it's been a good recommendation for us for a long time, so.
Yeah.
All right, so anything else you want to talk about technology-wise there, Dennis? I still can't get over the fact that Microsoft tweaks Define Print to warn everyone not to take its AI seriously. Just cannot make it up, but go ahead.
Well, here's something that apparently is becoming a thing.
Yeah.
Airbnb hosts are finding out that they're getting massive electric bills because the people who rent their properties are crypto mining.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, there's an article here about a woman who, you know, rented out a property in North Carolina, and she thought everything was great. Renters came, they left, everything was nice. And then suddenly she got socked with a $1,500 electric bill.
Wow.
Which, even in Connecticut, is excessive.
That is.
That's
a lot of rigs that were running in her house.
Now, here's the thing. She, it took her a bit to figure out what was going on and why.
Yeah.
But she determined that, you know, somebody would probably, it was crypto mining. And she went and talked to the renters.
And they admitted it?
They eventually did. Yeah. Initially, they were like, nah, get away. but they admitted it, and then they eventually decided to pay her the $1,500.
Well, that was nice
and
of them.
The reason that they said that is, well, we made $100,000 while we were there, so why not?
On what? Some fake, silly
token?
On
fake tokens.
Unbelievable.
So I guarantee they don't have $100,000 US dollars in their bank account.
No.
What they've got is just crypto
that
at the moment happens to be worth $100,000. And who knows what it's going to be 5 years from now. But at any rate, this is something that's really happening with the Airbnb. And it isn't just this one woman either. I mean, the article mentions a couple other people that had similar issues.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah, people are renting out properties and crypto mining in them. You can't make this up.
No, you can't. Oh, my goodness. It's just the fact that crypto is still a thing, and it's actually becoming more of the thing, even in the political environment we're dealing with.
Yeah, people are, you know, we even have presidential candidates talking it up.
Yeah, it's getting nuts. It doesn't make any financial sense. I can have a token. Dennis can have a token. We can say it's worth $100, and it's worth $100.
Right. Until it's not.
Until we can't convince enough fools to spend $100 on it. That's what it is. It's mind-boggling. And the amount of energy, we talked about this before, the amount of energy, compute power. You look at AI. AI is taking a lot of energy and heat and all true. That to tell, then have Microsoft tell you not to take it seriously. Don't take our artificial intelligence seriously. We're just going to use a lot of compute, a lot of CPU, a lot of bandwidth here for you to go ahead and ask Gemini, whatever. Or that's not Gemini, ChatGPT something. And now you go back to crypto where it has no intrinsic value. It doesn't throw off any interest. It doesn't have any. The only value is how much you are willing to spend on it or give people your hard-earned money for something that is. And again, it was created by some Japanese quote-unquote programmer.
Yeah.
Who we've never seen or met or known who has all the tokens, Bitcoin.
Right. Right.
There's nothing fishy about that, guys. Have you guys watched The Big Short? I mean, nothing fishy about that. You're totally fine with some mysterious Japanese guy who created Bitcoin and has the majority of the coins. And now you think someone told you that if you go ahead and pay $60,000, which is what it's worth now for a Bitcoin, that you're making a smart financial decision. I mean, unbelievable. And there's so many Fidelity's offering this stuff now. You can get ETFs on this crazy stuff. I don't know what's going on here, but just 2008, the big crash we just dealt with, that was actual real estate. People giving liar loans to people who couldn't afford mortgages, right? Banks as usual, giving these loans out, packaging them into a thing that was sold by Lehman Brothers, and then by Moody's saying, it's good paper.
Well,
and we all get burned.
And you know why they were saying it's good paper.
It's a mortgage.
It's a mortgage. And people will pay that before anything else, right?
That's what they said.
So,
well, you think that with your electric bill too, but we won't go there.
So mortgages are never a bad investment, no matter who you're lending it to, right?
As long as, well, that was the theory, but they were doing liar loans. They weren't even caring what your income was.
Right.
When they were giving the loans
out. Well, it doesn't matter because you're going to pay it.
Right.
Because Because people always just pay their mortgages, right?
Right. All that's real, and we got completely burnt into the Great Recession.
Yeah.
And now somehow you guys are thinking crypto's a thing. I just can't juxtapose to how that's a thing, how that's happening. And now you've got Airbnbs getting burned by crypto miners?
Yes. Yes, it's a thing.
Wow. I know a lot of companies are also finding that their companies are being compromised by crypto mining software. So that they can then, they're not actually looking to ransom you. They're not looking to actually, they just want to use your compute power and your bandwidth.
Right.
Right. And it's like the SETI project.
And they call it crypto jacking.
Right.
Where they're just using your CPU cycles.
That's where we are, Dennis.
Yeah.
Year 2024.
It's enough to make you cry.
So we want to thank all you guys for joining us on this lovely Saturday morning. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything over at our Facebook page and X for us. I want to thank Dennis, of course, for posting everything live. Don't forget, set your calendar. September 21st, we're going to be happy to take off your hands all your old garbage electronic equipment. Also, if you have printer cartridges, EOSI loves those things.
Yep.
So bring your empty print cartridges and your electronic equipment over to the world headquarters of Tab Computer Systems in lovely downtown East Hartford, Bissell Street. We got a new mural there.
Yeah, it's very, very nice.
It says, welcome to East Hartford, so you can't miss us. Come down the one-way street, and you're going to be greeted by an army of folks from Environmental Office Systems. They're going to take that electronic equipment off your hands for free, whether you're private or a business. So we're not saying you can't be a business and come by. Whoever would like to come by and get rid of their electronic junk, we'll take it, and they'll either be repurposed or they'll be responsibly recycled. And of course, if you have empty toner cartridges or ink cartridges, man, they love those things.
Oh yeah.
So bring those along as well. And we'll be broadcasting this program live, so you can wave at Dennis and I as you go by through our little maze there, like our IKEA of collecting electronic equipment, the Stu Leonard's version of that, and you go ahead and go down the lane there and drop off your equipment, and we do appreciate that. So thank you guys. We appreciate you guys joining us, and we appreciate GoNetSpeed for making this commercial free.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
And I almost forgot Carolyn. Thank you, Carolyn, for producing. We'll
see you next time. Thank you, Carolyn.